Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
On any given day in recent months, 3,000 people cross the U.S.-Mexico border at Lukeville, a remote outpost in the Arizona desert. But today, that number is zero. The U.S. government closed the port of entry this week because a record number of asylum seekers have shown up at the border. But closing the port also means that local families and tourists can't cross over like they used to, and that has paralyzed communities in both countries. Aaron Cooper is the executive director of the International Sonoran Desert Alliance in nearby Ajo, Arizona. He wrote an open letter to the Biden administration demanding they keep the Lukeville crossing open. Aaron Cooper, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
And we're glad to have you. You wrote this letter to the Biden administration saying that closing the port at Lukeville will be devastating to your community. Tell me why.
It's a whole host of issues, but the real backdrop of it is this region is one cohesive region, regardless of what side of the international border you're on. It's small communities where people live on one side, work on the other, have family on one side, have children that stay on the other side with extended family, get to work, reach medical appointments, just really economically connected, socially connected. And so by closing this port of entry, you know, I use the example, the community of Sonoita and the community of Ajo are about a 40-minute commute right now if the Lukeville port of entry is open. It has become a five-hour commute. So it just completely disconnected these very intricately connected communities.
And this is one of the reasons why the decision to close the port has really outraged people from many different points of view in the state of Arizona. The governor is angry. Members of Congress are angry, Republicans and Democrats. But you're on the ground. I mean, you live right there in the community. Have you seen anything happen in the days since it's been closed on Monday? What's it like there?
So immediately, we had several businesses that couldn't operate normally because their employees couldn't get to work. Places like gas stations, you know, Mexico insurance providers, restaurants, anybody with a tourism focus immediately saw the hit from the complete drop in traffic. So pass-through traffic went to zero. So we have a lot of businesses that are treading water. If it drags on much longer, they'll close. I mean, some businesses will fail, not to mince words. That will happen. Fortunately, there's been a way to continue to get school-age kids back and forth across the border for educational purposes. But that is a very narrow exception and is not being broadly applied. The other thing that we saw was an immediate uptick in the number of asylum seekers coming through the border, like an order of magnitude. I mean, it didn't have an effect of dissuading, but in fact had the opposite effect.
And that's the reason that the federal government has given for closing Lukeville. They're trying to divert the resources at Lukeville to help process some of these folks that are coming over asking for asylum. Apparently, they're waiting in the desert camping until agents can come pick them up and process their case. Do you think redirecting the agents from Lukeville's port will help their cause, will make it easier for the federal government?
I don't, and I've made this case before. The number of agents there, last count was 23. Into the Tucson sector that has 3,700 agents is not going to make a definitive impact. So the only thing that makes sense to me is this is a pressure point to really try to get Mexico to do something on their side of the border, which is putting communities, very fragile, vulnerable communities that are still recovering from COVID-19 as a bargaining chip. And so it's very frustrating and very devastating.
Well, as you know, speaking of politics, this is front and center in the United States Senate this week. Senate Republicans have refused aid to Israel and Ukraine without provisions that would try to solve the problem that's happening at the border. What do you see from your perspective in Washington, D.C.? What do you want them or need them to do?
The first thing I'd want them to do is talk to and listen to communities that are affected by these decisions. So nobody did any outreach. There was zero forethought. There was zero notice. It was sort of in 3 days, we're going to close the port. Prepare yourselves. You know, I think the other thing, and I've said this often, is if folks are waiting to try to address the challenges here we're seeing from a huge number of asylum seekers at the border, it's too late. I mean, if operations aren't being mobilized at countries of origin and at pathways along the way to really kind of support the process. It's too late to try to say, hey, we're going to solve everything right here on this border.
So you've written this letter. You've laid out your concerns. Have you gotten any response to it?
I have gotten a response from Representative Grijalva's office. And that is the extent of any elected officials that have reached out.
And meanwhile, what's in store? I mean, do you have any sense of when that port might reopen?
We've been given no information on an open date. The language being used is indefinite. And so we are concerned that it will drag on for multiple weeks and potentially multiple months, which really will cause irreparable harm to this region if that's the case.
Aaron Cooper is the executive director of the International Sonoran Desert Alliance. That is in the small town of Ajo, Arizona, near the U.S.-Mexico border. Aaron, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.